The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
PJ Gallagher is with me. You'll see him on your TV screens tonight, RTE One Television, 9:35. Changing My Mind is the name of the documentary he has made. PJ, you're welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, yeah.
Why did you make this documentary?
Well, I guess that's it, isn't it? I didn't think when I started talking about mental health and mental illness and all of that, that I was going to get the reaction that I did get. To be honest, I wouldn't have done it. If I thought it was going to be as big, I wouldn't have done it.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it. I would have been afraid to be honest. Because when I started talking about it, I literally only did it to try and make the conversation go away as far as I was concerned. I thought I'd talk about it once on the Late Late Show and I'd never have to address it again and it would be done and I'd move on. That's so naive when I think of it now. Like, that was just such a naive point of view to have.
So sorry, when you say I wouldn't have done it, it's not that you regret doing it, is it?
No, I don't regret doing it. No,
it's
definitely
just in advance if you'd known it was going to be that big.
Yeah, I would have been too intimidated.
Yeah, okay.
I would have been an intimidation of myself. I would have put it myself. And then since then, I guess you realise certain things. You realise that people are coming to their local comedian and asking for mental health advice, and that's not the right place to go. That's not. I'm not a professional. I can't give advice. You know, I can't do it. I'm not the right person to ask. But it shows people don't know where to go and they don't know what to say and they don't know who to ask. So I guess this documentary is kind of me asking those questions to try and, you know, because I didn't know the answer myself. I still don't know the answer when people ask me. It was me to try and address those questions and put it out there. And and also to try and show that there is a big difference between mental illness and mental health. That mental health is how to sustain yourself and stay well thing, and mental illness is how to get to that point. So I don't think I ever really heard that addressed, and I felt quite left out of that conversation, the mental health conversation, when I heard it and when I was ill, when I was sick. So those are my reasons for making it. But I am nervous still about it going out tonight. There's nowhere to hide after this goes out. So, I mean, it's very, very sort of, I'm laid quite bare in it, and it's all out there. But, you know, it's not like it's a new thing for me to talk about. It's not something that I haven't done already before, but it always stays a little bit difficult.
It's
so personal.
Yeah, do you get used to it, or is there always a bit of vulnerability?
I'm getting very used to it. It's just that the audience keeps getting bigger. You know, if the audience was getting smaller, then I'd be very used to it. And there's also, you know, you worry, you're sick of your own story at this point. And trying to keep it very real, trying to keep the conversation real. From talking about all kinds of issues and doing stand-up and doing all these things, it's very easy to fall into routine in life. And I really don't want to do that with this. So this is probably going to be my last word on this.
So I don't think I have anything else to add. This is the end of the conversation.
I think so. I think I'm at a point where I just have to stop talking about it and live my own life. And like I said, I'm not a professional. I can't give advice. So this is just kind of me saying, like, you know, I got sick, I got better, here's questions I hope will help somebody else, and leave it at that. Yeah.
And do you think by continually kind of mining the story that you kind of get a bit trapped in the past, do you?
Not really. It's just that I don't know how to help. Like, I don't know how to help. Like, I still get messages every single day on social media. I still get people talk to me every single day in supermarkets, on the street. People telling me their story. People saying, my husband is sick, I don't know what to do about it. My wife is sick. Or telling me stories of tragedies that have happened because of mental illness in their families. And I don't know what to do. I'd never know really what to say, you know. So this documentary is kind of...
Have you got a stock answer?
Well, this is it. I don't want a stock answer. You know, I want to be genuine
with
people.
You kind of develop one, do you?
Not really. No? Now my stock answer will be, well,
watch
I made the show. Will you watch the documentary? Because hopefully something is addressed in that. I mean, that will probably be the new stock answer. Yeah.
You'll have to get cards with the link on it or something. You can just hand out to people.
That would not be sad. Yeah.
It would. So, like, in the documentary then, I mean, by way of trying to point people in the right direction, do you go back through your own experience?
Yeah, very much so. And probably more than I thought we would when we started this process. We started this process and I had ideas that we were just going to talk to people and therapists and we were going to find different treatments that were out there. And it just didn't end up like that. It just didn't feel genuine. And it didn't feel like it was really from the heart. So, yeah, it is a reflection on how things have been for me over the last few years. Sort of my road to wellness, and my doctors are in it, and the things I've done are in it. There's different options there, and there's talks to men's groups, one group in particular that's focused on men's health and men's wellness, and then there's another group that's not, but we use it as an experiment to see what it's like if you bring the conversation into a social, you know, into that social network of people like me, just middle-aged men who you probably wouldn't talk about it unless they were put on the spot. So that becomes a part of the documentary. So it's, yeah, it's, I mean, it's a lot of different things. And it's sort of, I guess, kind of the message is that there is no one way to get better when you're sick, when you're ill, when you don't want to live anymore, when you don't want to exist anymore. There is no one way back. You have to try all kinds of things. You might land on two that work. You might land on one, but you have to try a number of different things.
And I thought it was interesting, some of the stuff about the idea of some men, and not all, again, because that's the message here. You know what I mean? It's different things for different people, but how some men respond better to the kind of shoulder-to-shoulder therapy rather than face-to-face.
Well, yeah, and, you know, like, yeah, and that, I really think that's a thing, especially for maybe for lads like myself. You know, most of my friends are women. Most of my friendship circles are women, and they had an amazing ability when I was sick of just sitting down and talking to me face to face and trying to get stuff out of me. But I didn't react well to it a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Whereas when I meet the guys from the Blue Balls group, which is the swimming group that feature in the documentary, or the Pit Stop crew, which is like the motorbike element in the documentary, realize that when you're with lads and the focus is not mental health or mental illness, and it comes up in a different scenario, you're much more likely to get there. To get an answer. And it doesn't happen maybe on the day. You know, you might say you're not feeling great, or you might tell someone, well, here's what I did, I felt terrible. And maybe 2 days later, maybe 3 days later, you get a message on your phone saying, what did you do? I'm actually not great myself. So it's not a switch that goes off, and that's okay. And also the language that people use, there is no right language, there is no wrong language. I think a lot of the conversation I heard on mental health was so earnest, and it became like there was a way of talking about it. But there's not a way of talking about it. Whatever words you want to use for your story are your words for your story. And that's all right, you know. You know, my friends will slag me off a little bit to get to ask me how I'm getting, and that's fine. And I guess it's an effort in trying to normalise the whole thing, and an effort in trying to normalise that mental illness is totally fine. You know, we talk a lot about mental health. We don't say, like, I'm totally sick, I need to go to hospital, I need care, I can't be trusted on my own. And those things are totally normal as well.
And do you think that we've gotten to the point where we're much more comfortable having the mental health conversation?
Yeah, but not
rather than the mental illness conversation, because a lot of us are still a bit, I say, iffy is the wrong word, because it suggest I'm kind of questioning it, but that I'm still kind of, we're still uncomfortable a little.
Yeah, still uncomfortable, yeah. It's a little bit like going to a funeral, to be honest. Yeah. You know, everyone says, I'm sorry, and they say if they ever need anything, but they're just things you think you're supposed to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas,
and then they walk away thinking, I really hope he doesn't need anything and call
me. Yeah, if he needs something, I won't know what to do, or I don't want to do it.
Why did I say that?
Yeah, and you know, and with certain things like anxiety and depression, those things have become much more easy to talk about. But like when I was in St. Pat's for a while, I was in there for 12 weeks. You know, there was people in there who had serious addiction problems, eating disorders, people who suffer from psychosis, all these different mental illnesses you never really hear about.
Yeah.
And those need to be normalised very much as well. It should be as easy to say, like, I'm hearing things that aren't there. It should be as easy to say that as it is, like, I'm having heart problems, or, you know, at least I believe it is, because when these things are treated, you can live a normal life.
Yeah.
You get back to ground level.
And do you think, are we getting any closer to that point?
Ah, yeah. God,
yeah.
Yeah. When you have lads like me making documentaries, we're getting there. I mean, we're getting great at the conversation. We are. It's going to take a long time maybe for the services to catch up. I mean, the services are great if you can get them, but they can be very, very hard to get. I was very privileged in that I could access them fast. And I suppose we wanted to try and show a story in the documentary as well, Andy's story, where he didn't have the same access maybe some of us did, and how he went a different route and how that worked for him. And but I know that's not easy. It's not easy. Some people are getting in trouble and it takes months, and some people don't have months. They just don't have it in them. So, yeah, but we're getting there.
So the great hope is that it'll be received well and people will stop asking you for...
No, I don't really, yeah, well...
Advice.
Not that I have an answer. I mean, selfishly, the great hope for me is I have an answer. The big point of it is in that it in some way contributes to the conversation in a positive way, in a slightly different way than we've already had. That's what I hope.
Is there a part of you as well, and maybe there isn't, but is there a part of you that just wants to stop talking about your mental health?
Oh, yeah. No,
like
no.
I've talked a lot about this.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this is it. I think I'll get... Yeah. I laughed at myself when I saw the trailer the other day. I say in it, like, I just wanted to be the funny guy. I never wanted to be the depressed guy. And that's jokes and comedy. That's gone. But, like, I get up every morning and tell jokes on the radio. So it's not gone. I want to get back to just being a comedian.
Yeah.
That's what I do. That's my bread and butter. That's who I am, really.
Well, I don't want my illness
to define me.
We spoke to Ed Byrne earlier in the show, and his show at the moment that he's doing around the country is kind of born of his brother dying a couple of years ago. And then we've got Miles Jupp coming up with the show. And his show that he's doing is about his cancer diagnosis.
You can mine anything. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you can tell a story well, you can use it for anything. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But you want to be careful you don't become your story. Your story is just, it's a period of time in your life. It's not who you are. It's not what you are. It's something that happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess I have moved on.
Yeah.
I have.
And you're in
really
a good place
well
now.
For years now.
Yeah.
So I have moved on. It's like, it is my past. So this is a documentation of what happened, not what is. So yeah, it's time to like leave it there, but hopefully leave something positive for the next person, you know, I guess, I hope.
Changing My Mind is the name of it. It is on tonight at 9:35 on RTE1 television. And if you miss it, don't worry, because it is going to be up on the RTE player as well. PJ, it's been a pleasure.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.